from the time that they pronounced me dead was a good 45 minutes.
They cut my clothes and then they paddled my heart, because my heart had stopped. And I could see people screaming and crying, but I didn't realize that was actually my physical body because I was somewhere else.
The only thing that I could feel, if you could imagine, absolute love and peace. There wasn't anything else to be felt.
I was greeted by people I'd known in the past.
I'm back home again.
Incredibly safe and felt at home.
Welcome to Round Trip Death, everybody. And I'm going to give you a little preface to this interview, but let's introduce Jared first. Jared Geeting from Pocatello, Idaho. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So here's the warning that I'm going to give everybody. From time to time, we talk about distressing or disturbing experiences that people have had with their NDEs. We also talk about other related experiences to NDEs. Today is going to be sort of a combination of the two, not your classic died, went to the other side, came back, but a very similar and related kind of experience, and with some just very distressing stuff into it. So parents, you might want to, you know, maybe not have kids involved in this one. We'll see. Listen to it and see. And I promise, you know the show, there's always a happy ending. So with that said, Jared, can you tell us just a little bit about you?
Yeah, I am. I'm 50 years old, live in Pocatello, got just a wonderful job. I've been through some really difficult things. I used to live in Utah and just had some amazing experiences that it turned me into a person that lives in a life of gratitude and very Christ-centered. And I very much am happy with where God has led me from a very dark place to where I'm at now.
Well, we're going to jump right into it. Unfortunately, that's going to start with that dark place.
Okay.
So let's go back to where you're 24 years old. Give me an idea of what's going on in your life. You're living kind of a rough life, aren't you?
I am. I had made some really bad choices, had some problems with addiction. My father-in-law encouraged it because he had the same problem, and I was hanging out with him when this happened. And it just was... it was just a living nightmare.
Well, tell us what happened.
Okay, so him and I had decided to go meet some other gentlemen, and we were just had a bunch of other bad choices, and I don't even remember what we were doing. It was to get something from them, and I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was something that was important to my father-in-law at the time, and he asked me to go with him. So we pulled into this field that was down in Salt Lake. It was an empty lot, but it was just nothing but sagebrush, about an acre. And we were sitting there waiting, and these other two gentlemen never showed up, but we didn't know that at the time. And so we're just sitting there waiting, and all of a sudden, my father-in-law slumped over in a seat and just fell asleep. And I was like, well, it was just weird the way it happened. And at first I didn't think much of it. And I just left him alone. And as I'm sitting there by myself, all of a sudden I see these three beings that start walking towards me. I could just tell there was just the whole feeling, the atmosphere changed. It was... the best way to put it is it pulled on my soul in a very dark place, in a very dark way, to where I just felt immense fear. These beings, they had sort of like demonic faces. They looked really creepy. You could tell there was something wrong with them. They weren't human, is what I'm saying. I don't know what they were. I assume they were demons. But that's just an assumption. To this day, I don't know what they were. So what happened is from there, I started freaking out and I tried to wake up my father-in-law, and I'm physically hitting him and I'm grabbing him and shaking him, and nothing I do will wake him up. Like, he is just out And I don't know, flying some very serious force. I mean, I'm not like slugging him, you know, but I am hitting him pretty hard and he won't wake up.
Is that normal for him, by the way?
No, absolutely not. From what I know now, it's just that I was meant to have this experience.
And have it alone, it sounds like.
Yeah. And it was to make sure that he wasn't involved. And so I got out of the truck and I just started running. One of these, the beans just turned and looked at me. And it was with such disdain, such arrogance, like, you're not even worth my time. I'm not going to chase you. I don't want anything from you because you're nothing to me. That was the look he gave me. And because of the way I was living, because of just the choices I made, I felt like I was going to hell. That's what I felt like. Whatever you think hell is, that's what where I thought I was going. And I thought, well, if I'm going to hell, I was going to embrace it. I was 100% thinking, well, if this is the way that my life's going to go and I'm going to choose that, then I'm going to embrace the dark side. And I think that, well, I know that's why this experience happened. Is because I was going to choose that. I was actually planning my first very violent experience. I wouldn't say I was planning a murder, but it was close to it. I was going to physically hurt someone, and it was going to end in either probably, you know, I hate to say that because it sounds so awful, but I was planning some really bad stuff. So as I get out and I'm running, and this demon is looking at me, I very, very, very clearly in my head heard, this is your fate if you do not change. And in an instant, that whole field I'm running through changed. And I could see spirits all around me that were in just despair. I wouldn't say, I don't know if I believe in like a hellfire burning. Maybe there's that, but that's not what I saw. What I saw was spirits that were resonating at the lowest possible frequency. I was so low in the way that I was living that I felt like that's where I was going to go if I freely chose to keep going the way I was going. The spirits I could hear screaming. I could hear just despair. I could see spirits that were people that were trying to get gratification sexually. It just seemed animalistic. Just perversions that I've never seen before in this life. That just, it was creepy and it was scary. And even right now I'm shaking because I'm thinking about it. And so what I did is I was running and it was winter time. I didn't have a coat, but nothing was going to stop me from trying to outrun this. And just this peek into this plane of existence of where these spirits were. Like I said, I don't know if it was hell. It's definitely a form of hell. Just the pure agony that I saw on these people's faces was so horrific that it absolutely scared me. To the point where I broke down crying as I was running, and I started praying for the first time in a long time. And I was begging God, please, please just close this up. I don't want to see this anymore. I can't handle this. And as I was running, it's like I was running through this field trying to get out of it. It started to slowly close up as I was running and praying. Little by little, the more I prayed, the more it went away. I just kept running and I kept praying and it slowly started to close up. And I looked back and I could see that one being that was looking at me. He stared at me the whole time and I could see him in the distance. And it was just with such disgust, like, you can run, but you're not going anywhere. That was the look I got from him. And he was one of the scariest individuals I've ever seen in my life. And I hope I never run across him again.
All right. I want to ask a couple questions before we move on.
Sure.
And I don't want to dwell too much on a hellish scene, but I do have a couple of questions about it. So the three beings that seemed demonic, but then you saw other people. Did they look like regular people?
Yes.
But as you said, they just looked horrible, despair, terrible things going on. Did the scene look like, I don't know, was it like red fire brimstone? Or I'm kind of picturing more of a black and white dreary.
It was dark, and it was like a dark mist all around. And it was just heavy is the best way for me to describe it. And it was people in an absolute state of just agony and people screaming, you know, like, I'm sorry, and just victimizing themselves and trying to think how else I can describe it. It was just dark. Everything about it was dark.
As you've had time to think about it over the years, do you feel like you were, I don't know, do you feel like this was sort of an illusion, a dream kind of thing made up for you? Or like maybe you were seeing a real hellish experience with real live people who had ended up there?
Yes, I believe it was a real life experience with people who were there in that experience, that it was current. The reason that God said to me, this is your fate if you don't change, and I'll never forget those words. But because I was planning such evil things, and I was going in such a bad direction, that God made an exception because he needed me to go a different direction. He needed other things for me. It had the proper effect. Like, it took me years to turn my life around. It wasn't instant, but I instantly tried. I ran home and I woke up my wife.
How far away was that?
About 4 miles.
Oh, wow. Long run.
I just ran. I was just so scared.
You had some adrenaline going.
I did. And I didn't care that it was wintertime or cold. I just kept running, and I prayed the whole way. I woke up my wife and said, we need to talk. And I just told her everything. I didn't hold anything back. And she did the most Christian act anyone has ever done for me. She gave up everything right then and said, well, in order for you to straighten up, we need to move away from my family because they're the ones causing the problem. And we're going to move to Southern Utah with your family and get you right on the right track. The funny thing is that she was an atheist, but she did the most Christian thing I've ever seen anybody do. And she gave up everything to help me. And it was such a kind sacrifice that I was overwhelmed by her sacrifice. And I would just had nothing but gratitude for her. And I always told her, because of that, no matter what. And we ended up getting a divorce later, and a lot of it was because of the mistakes I had made earlier that just caused, you know, some problems in the marriage. But that was down the road where we just decided to go different ways. But I always told her, no matter what, if you need me, I will drop anything and be at your side because of what you did. It was just such an amazing charitable thing that she did, that she gave up so much for me. And that was, for me, kind of a first act to show that I'm getting back on the right track. And I saw a bunch of other just amazing things along the way as I started to turn my life around and head back to a Christian way of life.
And this isn't probably an important part of the story, but I'm just so curious, what happened to the father-in-law? He was left there asleep in hell. Was he okay? Did he just wake up later? Did you go back and get him?
He was comfortable there. So he never changed. he's still alive.
But he woke up.
Yeah, I saw him the next day. He came over to my house and he's like, oh, sorry, I fell asleep. Those guys never showed up. And I was like, oh, okay. I didn't tell him the experience because he was very much a non-believer in everything. My wife, which was her father, said, hey, we need to talk. And she ripped into him and just said, hey, we're leaving. We're moving because of what you've contributed to my husband's well-being and whatnot. And she was fearless in defending me. Just an amazing woman. I still think she may be my ex-wife, but she is just an amazing person, amazing human being.
That's a great attitude. Okay, I'm done asking questions for a minute. You keep going here. So was it hard to turn you mentioned it wasn't easy to turn your life around immediately. It sounds like you had addictions to get over. That take a few years.
You know, here's the funny thing is once I started praying and I told God I'd turn my life around and what I felt like he instantly sent help. Not only with the way that my wife was acting and her defense of me and willing to help me change. Once I was honest with her and I told her everything, the funny thing is the addiction instantly left. Like I quit that day and I did not ever pick it up again. And it was amazing to me. I even told her that. I'm like, how is it possible to be addicted for over a year and hide it and sneak around and just this whole nightmare of what addiction is. And the next day be able to get over it. Like to me, it was a miracle. To me, it was amazing. It was humbling. And that was, I feel like God also helping me to overcome something that I desperately needed help with.
And you said that during the experience, God told you, this is your fate if you do not change. Did you feel like that was actually a voice out loud or was this a thought in your head? What was it?
It was a very, very strong voice in my head. I didn't hear it out loud, but I did hear it in my head. And it's not like the voice that you hear when you're thinking and you're thinking things through or talking to yourself, or it wasn't that. It was very much a very different presence, very different strong voice. And many times since then, I have prayed and asked, God, did this really happen? Was it just a chemical imbalance? Am I just crazy? And I've gotten a very strong response to that, that no, I sent that experience to you because I needed you back on my side. I didn't need you to go down there and do those things. And he needed me on my side for my benefit. You know, there's nothing that God can't do on his own, but he was doing it for me. So since then, I did a lot of self-help type things and made sure that I tried to change and be the exact opposite of how I was. And now I live every day trying to make the world a better place, just one kind act at a time. Make sure I treat everybody the way I want to be treated. Make sure that I try to contribute in some way to this life every day. Even if it's just something small, by making sure that I show kindness to somebody in a store. And of course, any act I could ever do to help someone, I would do, as just me trying to do just the opposite of the way I used to live.
By the way, listeners, if you think we're wrapping up here and this is going to be a short episode, we're not. We're just going to jump into part two here, which is a really cool experience that happened to you about 5 years later, right?
It is, yes. So I kept wondering, have I done enough? And I would pray and ask God, and have I done enough? And I would get the answer, or just a feeling of God's love, saying, you know, you really need to stop worrying about that. Like, you're fine. You're on the right track. You're doing well.
Hey, just a brief interruption. This month, starting today, we're asking you, our favorite listener, to support this show. It's definitely a labor of love for Will and I, but it takes a ton of time and money, and we need donations to keep things going. It's easy. Go to roundtripdeath.com, click on the little donation button in the upper right-hand corner. You can show your appreciation for the podcast and help us move forward. We've had requests for video interviews. That's something that we'll be unveiling soon, as well as other improvements. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now back to the guest.
So about 5 years later, I'm living in American Fork. I had been remarried, been married about a year, and my wife was pregnant with our first child. I go in for knee surgery, and while I'm in under knee surgery, I had an experience. I remember them putting me to sleep. And the next thing I remember is me having a conversation with my unborn child, and I'm able to see him, and I'm looking right at him. And I remember looking at him and going, wow, you look so much like your mom, and you look so much like me. And he was in his mid-20s. And he turned to me, he said, I love you, Dad. But he said it mind to mind. And when he said it, it was like a freight train of love, just at full blasting through you. Like, that's the best way I can describe it. Like, it was just so amazing. It was, words can't describe. Like I say, a freight train in you with love was the best description I can give. That even that's inadequate. But I remember looking at him, and I remember thinking, wow, that I love you so much. And I was able to convey it back. And next thing I know, I woke up in the recovery room. And I was so frustrated because I wanted to remember more. I knew there was more. When I first went to when I was talking to my son, the feeling was like when you're talking to someone and somebody else walks into the room and all of a sudden you stop talking for whatever reason, maybe the situation the other person's not supposed to know about or whatever. But it's like there's something else right on the tip of your tongue, or you just have this feeling like you're just about ready to express something, and then it stops. That was the feeling I had. And then I look at my son and he said, I love you, Dad. And then I woke up and I was like, oh man, why can't I remember more? That just seems like so unfair. Like I wanted some great out of body experience. You pick up any near death experience book and they've had, you know, all these long journeys and conversations. And I prayed about it and trying to remember more. And I knew there was more, but like I even went to a hypnotist. And the hypnotist, she said, well, let me stop you right there, because if you're not supposed to remember it, then hypnotism is not going to help you. Like, if God doesn't want you to remember it for whatever reason, then you're not going to remember it. And so it took me about 2 years. And I finally came to the realization that at that time, I couldn't handle more. And if God had given me more, it would have been counterproductive. But he gave me just what I needed. But that memory, I know now that there's God. I saw the other side, even for just a brief second. I felt it. I saw my son, my unborn child. That was enough. And it supported me many, many times in this life to help me keep moving forward. And to keep my eyes, you know, in the direction it needs to be towards God. But if he had given me more at the time, I would have, I guess, gone on the deep end, or for whatever reason, I couldn't handle it. at the time. So loving God gave me just what I could handle.
That completely makes sense. And I've talked to many people that have had similar thoughts that we don't like to admit it. You know, we're like,
no, we don't.
Hey, I couldn't handle more. No, we don't like to admit that, but I really believe that people are given the experience that is just right for them, whether it's a little or a lot or somewhere in between. They're given what they need and what is best for them. We don't know what's best for us. And let's face it, if God opened up too much, I think it would be really hard for us to stay here in this mortal realm on this earth when we would be longing to be in that spirit world so desperately that I think it would just be, it'd be too hard.
Yes.
We've been given a gift of not remembering a lot of things, whether it's, you know, something during an NDE, whether it's where we lived and what it was like before this life. Yeah, there's a reason we don't know it all, and it's good for us.
It's been difficult for me that I had that experience, so I know there's another side. I saw it. Because I saw that, I know that we lived before we came here. I know that there's a loving God. I know that when family passes on, that they're there to help us. I know that there's just so much more when we pass on, and just from that small experience I had. And so it's made it so that I can stay grounded here, but I very much look forward to the time when my journey here is over and I can feel that love again, because it was just incredible. I forgot to mention this, but it lasted for 3 days, and little by little, it just faded out. But for that 3 days, it's like I felt encompassed in this love that my son sent. And we're not able to really experience it in this life. Our bodies aren't capable of experiencing that kind of love. And when I had that out-of-body experience, that I felt that, it stayed with me for 3 days. And it was amazing 3 days. And I would just break down crying because I just felt so overwhelmed with love, and to know that there's a loving God on the other side waiting for us. I was excited for my son to be born. Couldn't wait to tell him about it when he was older. I tell him now, and he just kind of looks at me like, okay, Dad, whatever.
You're weird. No, when he's a little older, he'll want to hear more about it. How long was this before he was born?
Oh, geez. My wife was about 5 or 6 months pregnant. So he was close.
And do you remember, I know you don't remember a lot about it in addition to the feeling, but do you remember seeing him in a place? You said you saw him at what age was it again? 20 something?
He was in his mid 20s. Yeah.
Okay.
And so it was really bright around him. And so I only had, I would say, 3 to 4 seconds, and I was so focused on him that I didn't see anything else around. I kicked myself, like, why didn't you look around? Why didn't you get more, you know? But my son deserved my full attention, and he had it. And like I said, we were in discussion of something, and it was taken from me, but I just remember looking at him, and I was so amazed at to me, just such a beautiful person. I looked at him and remember thinking, you just encompass every good trait or value of your mother, and every good trait and value of mine. Just the embodiment of him seemed so pure and so strong and beautiful, and I was amazed by all that. And so I couldn't take my eyes off of him, because I just remember thinking, what an amazing looking man my son was. And I think once we pass on, that's what awaits us. I think that's what we will encompass as well, is we'll start to embrace the good traits and the good qualities, and other people will see the beautiful and strong parts of us on the other side. And that's what waits for us.
How old is he now?
21.
So he's about at that age where you saw him.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he is. And he does look that way. He looks exactly like I saw him in that. And he is by far, so I have six children, and he is by far my best looking child. And he,
I'm going to tell the others you said that. You're in trouble.
Well, all of them know that. Like, he is just way too good looking for his own good. Like, he is just an incredibly beautiful, beautiful person. And yeah, he knows it. But he handles it really well.
During that 3 days after your surgery, you must have been kind of glowing.
Oh, absolutely.
Did your wife or anybody notice?
Yes, my wife did. I think she was kind of mad that she hasn't had an experience like that. But she did believe me. And the very first thing when I woke up was I asked for her. And the very first words out of my mouth was I told her I saw our son. And so she believed me, because it's not like you're going to, right out of surgery, the very first thing you're eager to do is make up something like that. You know, that just doesn't happen. She was very much on my side, very much believed me. And we talked a lot about it, and it was just an incredible experience. And it, like I said, it has carried me many, many times in this life where I've had some struggles or I've had some difficulty, and I'll always think back to that. In fact, I think about that experience almost every day to this day. Think that I really can't wait till I'm done here. Like, I really look forward to the time where I can go to the other side.
I guess I don't need to ask you the question, what's your fear level of death?
Oh, man, I have zero fear of death. I very much look forward to it. But on the other hand, I try to keep myself grounded. And it's kind of funny. I feel like God has this mission for me to one day at a time make the world a better place. And it, to me, it seems like it's kind of silly, but I laugh about it. But I still do it. I still try my hardest to treat anybody I come in contact with as much kindness as I can. Treat them the way I want to be treated. And if they ever get a chance to go and help someone, then I do that to try to make the world a better place.
Well, Jared, I appreciate your time so much. And thank you for reaching out to me about this. I know you haven't shared this, you know, on other things online and stuff. And so I appreciate you coming here and doing that. Any last thoughts you want to leave with our listeners?
Just that I think that God has a direction for all of us. And I think that I've had some really extreme things in my life where God kind of had to step in. But I think we're far better off just to know God loves us and try to go in that direction and just do the best we can. Make the world a better place one day at a time, one kind act at a time.
Thank you, Jared. Thanks for your time.
You're welcome, sir.
Thank you so much for listening and supporting the show. Just a reminder, click on over to roundtripdeath.com to make a donation, and there'll be a link in the show notes. Until then, I wish you every good thing that you're looking for in this life and the next.